The Department of Justice is going to start pushing back on sanctuary cities. And here in Seattle, already we see the U.S. Attorney, Brian Moran, you've heard him on the show, announcing that he is suing King County to force it to once again allow Immigration and Customs Enforcement deportation flights to leave from Boeing Field. Boeing Field is owned by King County, and Dow Constantine said, we're not going to let you use this airport anymore. I want to get a quick comment from Doug Erickson, who is as responsible as anyone in Washington for the Donald Trump campaign here. Hello there, Doug. How are you?
Hey, good morning, John. Doing great.
Thank you very much for your patience. I really appreciate it. What do you think of this news?
Hey, I think it's about time, and I think it's just the first step. I think you're going to be seeing a lot more of this out of the administration, you know, in the coming years as we ramp up the efforts to enforce U.S. immigration law, and states that want to not enforce, play by their own rules for political reasons, they're going to start feeling, I think, the heat from the federal government.
I love this new attitude. And by the way, if you want to know what is the difference between Donald Trump and a standard issue Republican, keep in mind, ICE was being pushed around by cities and counties back during the George W. Bush administration, and there was next to no pushback from ICE, meaning the Bush administration. They just kind of took it. And then, of course, during the Obama administration, ICE was practically demonized. And now you had Donald Trump mentioning, saluting law enforcement in this country, and he specified the men and women of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. Huge ovation. And then this aggressive pushback on sanctuary cities and counties. I love this. And I've been waiting for it like you have, Doug.
Well, exactly. Up in my district, John, I have 5 international border crossings with Canada. So I have a lot of Customs and Border Patrol that live in my district. And then we also have ICE, which is separate from Customs and Border Patrol, up in the area also. And these are great people that deserve respect and need to be treated well by the government. And here you have these local officials like the King County executive who are just so disparaging towards these men and women who go to work every day to defend America. Well, and I think it's great that AG Barr is getting on board and getting this fired up.
Yeah, Pramila Jayapal, along with Adam Smith, who certainly knows better, and Dow Constantine have not only not cooperated with ICE, but they have actively tried to undermine immigration law itself. And they have acted to demonize the men and women of ICE. And they know what they're doing. This is, for all intents and purposes, a hate campaign. And instead of just taking it, ICE is swinging back, and good for them. I've just been waiting for this. Yeah. So now that we're done talking for the moment anyway about federal law, can we talk about what's going on with state law in Olympia, Doug Erickson?
But of course.
There are a number of big fights that are still going on in Olympia. Let's see, this session has, what, about 20 days left?
Not a little bit more. I think we're about halfway through right now. So.
Okay. So you've got less than a month left. Still plenty of time for mischief. What are the big fights still in front of us?
Well, unfortunately, one of the big ones yesterday, we saw Governor Inslee sign that $1 billion B&O tax increase on small businesses throughout Washington state. If you read the Seattle Times, you wouldn't even know, or see articles from the Associated Press, you wouldn't even know it was a tax increase.
They sold it as
a college funding mechanism, but it was a $1 billion tax increase.
Yes, the way it was explained in the Seattle Times, if I remember, because I began to narrow my eyes, and I said, where's the mention of the tax increase? Instead, it simply said college funding is secured by revamping the legislature's three-tiered three-tiered schedule of business and occupation tax classification or something like that, something very opaque. I said, doesn't even point out it's a huge tax increase.
Yeah, $1 billion tax increase, and they called it a revamping or a restructuring or a resetting of the B&O tax. So many, many small businesses are going to see their B&O taxes reset for a 0.25% increase in their B&O. So that's unfortunately, Governor Inslee signed that one. So that's the first bill signed by the governor of this session, $1 billion tax increase.
Okay.
Now, what are the big fights right now going on also?
Okay, so the other big fight that we've been talking about on this show is the so-called low-carbon fuel standard that will spike the price of a gallon of gasoline over time more than 50 cents a gallon, and none of the money will be used for roads or bridges. It just basically raises the price of gasoline by insisting on this more expensive fuel standard. Go ahead.
Yeah, so LCFS, the way to think about this, it's a cap and tax on liquid fuels. And so you basically end up with the person driving the Ford F-150 to go to work. They pay a higher tax for their gas, and that money goes to subsidize the person who's buying an electric vehicle. Now, that's the simplest way to think about LCFS. And the estimates are, at the end of the day, it'll be about a 57-cent tax increase at the pump you'll be paying as a citizen out here in Washington.
I think it's very kind and thoughtful for people who drive trucks to subsidize Tesla owners in Seattle and Medina, don't you?
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, on this particular one, it's not necessary. There's lots of things that we can do if you're interested in carbon that are a lot more efficient than this LCFS standard. So that's the one they're definitely pushing. And, John, the Democrats are not even shy about it anymore. They also are combining this with a piece of legislation that says we will not, it will be the state policy not to reduce congestion.
We're going to get into that in just a moment. Yeah, we're going to get into that in just a moment. But I want to take these specifically. So is that going to happen, or is that going to fail? And if it does happen, won't there be a ballot measure to repeal it?
Well, I would hope so. But we'll see. This thing is very, very close right now.
Okay.
It's nip and tuck as we run this thing through, and it's anybody's call if this thing is going to pass or not.
I am hearing on the Second Amendment front that most of the proposed gun legislation has been withdrawn, has faded away, that there's only one bill left, and that is the restriction on the size of gun magazines. Do you know if this is accurate?
That's pretty accurate right now in terms of what's getting attention down here in Olympia. So I'm hopeful that that'll be the case, and even that one will be blocked. I mean, because obviously, you know, if they try to ban magazine clips to 10, you know, many people's handguns obviously have a clip that holds more than your magazine holds more than 10. So that's one of the ones they're working on. But this will be alive till the end also. People cannot relax, and we're not going to relax on those bills down here in Olympia.
Right. It would make most Glock magazines or most Glock firearms illegal. And finally, the sex ed curriculum.
Yeah, that has momentum. That was one of the first bills that the Senate Democrats wanted to push out, is one that mandates that kindergartners through third grade learn the 18 forms of gender. It's absolutely incredible what they're trying to do, and many parents disagree, and it's mandatory. It's not optional. It's mandatory that school districts must teach this radical curriculum that comes out of Olympia. And John, to put it in perspective, we don't have a statewide curriculum for math, for reading, for science. And now we have a statewide curriculum mandated and required to be taught on sex ed.
Out of Olympia.
Yes.
Out of Olympia. That's why.
Out of downtown Seattle, actually.
What are the chances that's going to prevail?
I think unless people really make their voices heard, it has a very high probability of passing. So this one, to me, this is just a total infringement on the rights of families be able to educate their kids how they want.
If this were on the ballot, it would lose 70-30.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Yes. All right. And then we don't have time to get into it, but as you point out, the Democrats pushing a bill, even the Seattle Times editorializing against it, which would remove congestion relief and freight mobility as a priority for the State Department of Transportation. Last 15 seconds go to you.
Yet the Democrats are showing their true colors. They want to massively increase the cost of your fuel to drive your car. Then they want to make it so bad that with congestion that you can't drive your car. That has been the goal of the Democrats for the past 20 years in Olympia. Now they're just coming out publicly and stating very clearly that they want to get you out of your car and limit your freedom.
We'll continue our conversations later on this week. Doug Erickson, one of the best communicators and thinkers in the state capitol. Thanks for joining us, Senator Erickson.